immigration seeps throughout the entire book, through all the chapters. I'm going to give you a sample for free. And it's about immigration. And I say, how many refugees can we take in, especially those who will never, ever assimilate into this nation? Not in 1,000 years will they assimilate. It's not in their culture to assimilate. That's the way they work. And then I say, this is a tough issue for all of us, because we have all been the children of immigrants at a certain point. Everyone in America is an immigrant, including the Native Americans. Yes, they had been here before the so-called white man arrived, and they had been here for a long time. I studied this as a young anthropologist and came to understand the time frame of the Native American peoples, how long they had been here before the colonists arrived from Europe. If you study more deeply and go past the surface in anthropology, you will learn that there are traces of people who were here before the Native Americans. There are skeletons of Caucasian-looking people who were here before the Native Americans. They were thrown out by the Smithsonian Institution because the fact of their existence embarrassed certain individuals. Thrown out faster than that same museum wanted to toss the Enola Gay, the plane that dropped the first atomic bomb, because it might offend the Japanese. You remember the nation that started the damn war in the Pacific? Like the army ants I mentioned, the history of life on Earth is about invasion. And human beings are no exception. We're being invaded right now. We're being invaded from the south. We're being invaded from the north, from the east, and from the west. You might say, well, that's the way of things, and you might get used to it. They're here, they're near, they're everywhere. The question is, why are liberals so quick to embrace this invasion? And why are traditionalists and conservatives like myself so resistant to erasing the borders, language, and culture of this great nation? I'm going to continue with the following line. As an immigrant son, I think about the refugee crisis every day. As an immigrant son, I have to ask myself, why do I oppose relocating 10,000 or 100,000 Syrian refugees into this nation? All from scorched earth, a must-have book on the savage nation. I am on record saying the following, which I will say again, and I'll tell you why, because I'm a realist. I am not a member of the right-wing intelligentsia that sits in a studio in his pajamas and never goes out into the real world, or is behind locked doors on a guarded estate, never sees the real people. I'm a man in the streets, and when I go out, I'm anonymous, but I actually look at things, and I see things, and I see who is preparing my food. I see who is building the houses. And I have said what I'm going to say again on this show. You're never going to deport 30 million people. It's not 11 million. That's the figure they've used for 10 years. Why do you keep using the lie of 11 million? There's over 35 or 40 million illegal aliens in the country. Now, there are three reasons you're not going to deport 40 million people. You want me to give them to you? Would you like to see a civil war in the country? Can you imagine local police going into homes and trying to deport people? I mean, these are really tough people, number one. They're not going to go quietly into the night. They're not going to pack their valises and go back to Mexico. There's going to be war. There's going to be shooting. There's going to be bloodshed. So let's be very pragmatic about reality here. I know a lot of you say, get them out, throw them out. They're no good. They're not like us. They came here illegally. That's a nice position to take if you just want to sound like you're a tough guy in the radio or television business. But in reality, there are no tough guys when it comes to deporting 40 million people. So I'm giving you one reason, a pragmatic reason, why you're not deporting 40 million people. Now, there is a caveat to that. I would deport the one-third of federal prisoners who are here illegally. They could be deported in a very short period of time. They already are incarcerated. They are being supported at a cost of $40,000 to $60,000 a year each in our prisons. You could go into the prisons, you could deport one-third of the prisoners who are here illegally, and they're not in prison for having committed the crime of coming here illegally. They're in prison because they murdered, or they raped, or they counterfeited, or they sold drugs, or whatever they did, drug driving. You could throw them all out of the country. Maybe it would take 6 months, but you could do it. And you could cleanse America by doing that. So let's be very clear what I just said. You can deport the prisoners who are illegal aliens. They comprise one-third or 30% of all the prisoners in our country. You cannot deport the 40 million people who are here otherwise, illegally. And I'll tell you why. I just told you why. One, because it would cause a civil war and bloodshed. Number two, your factories would stop running. Many of you don't even know that there are factories in America. We keep hearing that all the jobs and all the factories have gone to China and Mexico. Well, it's not true. Many of them have gone to China and Mexico, but not all of them. There are actual factories in the United States of America. They do a lot of things. And take a look at the production lines. Those of you sitting in your pajamas saying throw them all out. Virtually everything that you eat or drink has been touched by an illegal alien in a factory. Do you know that? Either the crop was picked by them, packaged by them, shipped by them, delivered by them. That's number two. Your entire economy would come to a screaming halt. Now you're going to say, well, Americans would do their jobs. Who? Which Americans? You? Black Lives Matter? They're going to do the jobs, and they just got $100 million, $70 million of which came from the evil man George Soros. They're going to go work all of a sudden. They have a job. Their job is agitation, attacking police, burning things, breaking things. They have a great job. Okay, so no, they're not going to do the job. Who's going to do the job? You? So I've given you two reasons why Trump's apparent flip-flop on immigration is not really a flip-flop from my point of view. It's realpolitik. Realpolitik, it is what it is. Go into any restaurant that you enjoy, and I don't care how patriotic the owner is. Take a look at who's working in the restaurant. You want to throw him out of the restaurant too? Out of the country? Go into an Italian restaurant, see who's cooking your meal. You want to kick him out of the country too? Who's going to cook your meal for you? They're not coming here from Italy to cook your meals anymore. So the Italian owner has to hire someone who can cook the meal, someone who he taught how to cook Italian. They're in the restaurant business. They're not going anywhere. Your economy would collapse. So that's number two. I'm giving you two reasons now why you can't deport 35 to 40 million people. One, because it would cause a civil war. They're not going to go quietly. Two, because your entire economy would come to a screaming halt. And shall I give you three? I can easily give you another reason, but I don't have to. And so I would ask you to back off on this thing about being a purist with regard to deportations, because it was never realistic to begin with. It was never a realistic plan. It was meant to incite and excite the voter. It's not happening. I'm sure many of you don't agree with me. And many of you are saying, well, Trump lost you because of the immigration flip. You're going to sit out the election because of the Trump position changes. And I disagree with you completely. Trump clarified himself on immigration. And the fact of the matter is, he had to. And he had to do it because he offended a large proportion of the electorate over the past year. I liked him, but he alienated a large proportion of the electorate over the last year. And as he comes into the final phase of the election, the centrists in the Republican Party, who are terrible people, they gave us Mitt Romney. They're now Romneyization. They're doing the Romneyization of Trump. I like that word. They're Romneyizing. They're Romneyizing Donald Trump. And I suppose that if I ever go to dinner with Donald Trump, I'll get what I got from Mitt Romney 4 years ago when I sat down with him in a restaurant in San Francisco. Believe it or not, he actually sat with me before he announced his candidacy. God, how long ago that was. Was 4 or 5 years ago? I don't know when it was. And it was a very interesting dinner. He's a very nice man. And when I brought up the issue of immigration, Mitt Romney said to me, well, that's a tough topic. I can't do anything about it because I'll lose the Hispanic vote. Now, I said to him, yeah, but you'll gain the American vote. You'll gain the vote of those who are here legally, who've worked so hard, who don't like to see all of the benefits going to so many of these families that don't do anything for this country. You may get the man working hard, but you got a wife at home with a number of children who are not working very hard. You've got kids in college in this country who think it's very unfair to give in-state tuition to non-citizens. They're really pissed off because they're working three jobs to go to college. Mitt Romney, I said that to him. It's very interesting. And I knew right then and there that Romney was going to lose because he was too centrist. He had been controlled by the RNC. The RNC is now controlling the Trump campaign, which is not even a guess. It's a given. Because they hired a man named Sean Spicer, the chief strategist and communications director for the RNC. Now I ask you, did you really want a man who advised Mitch McConnell and that other guy whose name I forget with the pink tie who cried all the time? Boehner. So The man who advised Boehner, the man who advised McConnell, is now advising Donald Trump. Just to give you some idea of where this is going to go over the next 30 days. If you're upset with Donald Trump on his modification or clarification of his immigration policies, I think you better get ready for a rough ride between now and November. I think you really better fasten your seatbelts. Now, of course, we read that a Clinton ad has come out tying Donald Trump to the Ku Klux Klan, which is intriguing in the sense that he never asked for their endorsement. But the Communist Party USA has long endorsed Hillary Clinton. I mean, the CPUSA, the Communist Party USA, tied to the worldwide communist movement, which killed over 100 million people in the last century alone. 100 million people died in the last century. Last century, 100 million people died as a result of communist philosophy. And we have a CPUSA in America that has endorsed Hillary Clinton. How come there's no sound on that? The Trump campaign should hire someone who has the brains to go find the sound of the CPUSA endorsing Hillary Clinton. But I don't know. I don't know if you'll find that sound, because the communists are much smarter than you may think. They're doing very well indeed. But I'm not going to spend the whole day talking about this topic. We know the Clinton Foundation is a scam and it's a fraud. It's a fraudulent charity at every level. In fact, it should be closed down as a fraudulent charity and all the money returned. And despite her claiming that they provide aid to needy people around the globe, a certain individual says this: the Clinton Foundation exists as primarily a clearinghouse for other people's money, and not one dime appears to go to actual goods. And there's a blogger named Alan Smithy, a satirist, quoted on the Daily Caller, who nailed the Clinton Foundation in 35 scathing tweets, and I'm not going to read them to you. They're on michaelsavage.com. And he shows that almost all their programs are scams. Almost all of them are scams. Nothing. For example, they claim to reduce 33,500 tons of greenhouse gases in America through the HEAL program, but it gives people loans, that's all. And then there's the Clinton Health Matters Initiative. It's fundraising and grants for health initiatives. And of the $2 million raised, not one dime appears to go to actual goods, all to consultants, fundraisers, etc. So as you can see, it's a scam. And they keep 90% of the money they raise, while they claim 88% goes to charity. My friends, if you ran a charity like this, the charity would be closed down, you'd be investigated by the proper agency, and you'd probably wind up in prison. But there's a Russian saying, which I've quoted before. I'm not Russian, but I like smart sayings. And the Russian saying is, only the small criminals go to prison. The big ones leave the country. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So here we are talking about the campaign, because that's all there is to talk about. It's all anyone's going to talk about between now and November. And I'm talking about it for a long time. And the big story is, of course, that what you don't know is that the Communist Party USA supports Hillary Clinton. How come there's no sound of this communist in America supporting Hillary Clinton? How come someone doesn't go around with a camera getting some of the burners, killers, and murderers in the streets of America supported by George Soros supporting Hillary Clinton? They're the equivalent of the Klan, aren't they? But they're much worse than the Klan. The last I checked, the last people who were killed by the Klan was like 50 years ago, while people on the other side are killing today with their little games in the streets with bats and sticks and knives and punching old people in the head. So you want to start smearing, the smear can run in both directions. I think we have to now not worry about this despicable, corrupt creature playing the Klan card on Donald Trump. I think we need to talk about Donald Trump. I think we need to talk about his change on the immigration issue and the other topics that I pulled together for you today, including the Clinton Foundation donors, which include, or who include, dozens of media organizations and individuals. I was shocked, I tell you, shocked, when I read that between $1 million and $5 million was given by James Murdoch, the CEO of 21st Century Fox. I was stunned to read that Newsmax Media, a Florida-based conservative media network, gave Hillary Clinton $1 to $5 million. I was not surprised to read that Carlos Slim, the chairman and CEO of Telmex, is the largest New York Times shareholder. I knew that. I was surprised not to read that Google and News Corporation founder, News Corporation Foundation, and a philanthropic arm of Fox News and Google gave her between $500,000 and $1 million. I was a little surprised to see that Houghton Mifflin gave $250,000 to $500,000 to Clinton. I was a little surprised to see that crossover. I was not surprised to see that the Richard Mellon Scafee Foundation, I think he passed away, the owner of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, gave between $250,000 and $500,000. I think the others I'm not surprised by. George Step on All of Us, that slime ball, gave her between $50,000 and $100,000. He's filthy from the get-go. What, are you surprised by him? The minute the man speaks, you know he has no credibility. He just makes your flesh crawl. Maud Zuckerman, owner of the New York Daily News and U.S. News Report, I thought he was dead. They said he gave between $50,000 and $100,000. I think he's still on a respirator somewhere. AOL and HBO, Hollywood Foreign Press Association, presenter of the so-called Golden Globe Awards, Viacom, gave her $25,000 to $50,000. I shouldn't say gave her. I mean to the foundation, the esteemed foundation. Public Radio International gave the foundation $10,000 to $25,000. If Trump wins, he closes down NPR. He makes them return their money that they've mulked for the public. Robert Albritton, owner of Politico, I told you was a wholly owned subsidiary of the Clinton family, gave $1,000 to $5,000. Then there's AOL, Huffington Post, Hearst Corporation, Judy Woodruff. Ha, Judy Woodruff. She never had credibility to begin with. Washington Post gave between $250,000 and $1,000. All right, that's chicken feed, nothing. But these donors are important, especially if you go to the $1 to $5 million level and you read that Thomson Reuters, Newsmax, and Murdoch gave between $1 and $5 million, you have to say, uh-oh, have I been had?
Savage.
The big issue to the average listener out there is nothing. There is no big issue. The coolers are packed. The cabin is awaiting them. I don't blame them. Who doesn't want to get away from this garbage? Everyone wants to get away from this filth and garbage in this country. What this guy has done, this thing in the White House, has trashed the United States of America. He turned us into a mini South Africa. There's a race war going on. Police are being killed like bowling pins. And all we got to hear about is that they're killing unarmed blacks. Liar, liar, liar. I'm sick of it. Am I the only one who can't take it anymore? You think I don't need a break from all of this nightmare? I do. It's not bad enough that Obama has unleashed thugs in the streets of America, turning us into a mini South Africa, with violence on the rise, with cops being shot, and yet cops are being called the perpetrators of the violence. He's turned the world upside down. Listen to what your president just did. He commuted the sentences of another 111 people. Now you say, well, okay, yeah, well, what? He released another 111 more federal inmates Tuesday. In a month, he's nearly doubled the number of commutations granted during his criminal presidency. Did you hear the number? Now, who did he release from prison? Innocent men? Because you're not going to believe. Listen to the liar, what he says. Entire communities have been ravaged where largely men are taken out of these communities. Kids are now growing up without parents. It perpetuates a cycle of poverty and disorder in their lives. It is disproportionately young men of color that are being arrested at higher rates, charged and convicted at higher rates, and imprisoned for longer sentences. So who did he release? Did he release medical students who were arrested because they were on their way to medical school? Amongst those 111 that the criminal gangster released were convicted of drug offenses for trafficking cocaine, heroin, marijuana, and methamphetamine. So he wants to release them back into the community. I guess there's a need for children to have a heroin dealer as a father around. Or if you're a child in an inner city, I guess you need a coke dealer as a father around. That would give family unity here. So this is all another, I mean, it's becoming so frightening what the guy is doing that all I can do is keep telling you the truth. He commuted 111 more sentences. These were not innocent users of drugs. These were and included coke dealers, heroin dealers, dope dealers, and methamphetamine dealers. This is your president? And Colin Paperneck says America is an unjust place for minorities when he makes over $100 million a year? It's like living in a gigantic propaganda windmill that doesn't stop. That's all. What What more is there to say? I just said it. So here we are. It's going on all around, right in front of our eyes. All right, so what I'll do for you is I'll read you some other headlines. Here is Bill Clinton, the great defender of minorities, suggesting that the economy of Detroit should be rebuilt, not with blacks. Hold it, African-Americans. All you lovers of Hillary Clinton, hold on, all you African-Americans who love Bill Clinton and hate me and hate Donald Trump. Hold on, African-American listeners. Your guy, Bill Clinton, suggested rebuilding Detroit with not black men, but with Syrian refugees. The top destinations for these Muslim Syrian refugees is Michigan and California. Your bum, illegal, criminal president brought in 10,000 of them against the will of Congress and against the will of the American people. 10,000 of them. And they're going to go, a lot of them, to Detroit, which is a magnet for Arab immigrants. Now, I got to ask you a question. Why would Bill Clinton suggest that they should rebuild Detroit with Syrian refugees as workers instead of out-of-work, unemployed people who live in Detroit? If you think I'm making this up, listen to clip number two. Here is Hillary Clinton's idea for helping minorities in America in clip 02.
Truth is, the big loser in this over the long run is going to be Syria. This is an enormous opportunity for Americans. Detroit has 10,000 empty, structurally sound houses. 10,000. And a lot of jobs to be had repairing those houses. But Detroit just came out of bankruptcy, and the mayor's trying to do an innovative sort of urban homesteading program there. But it just gives you an example of what could be done. And I think any of us who've ever had any personal experience with either Syrian Americans or Syrian refugees think it's a pretty good deal.
That's a very good deal for your friends in the contracting business. That's a very good deal for your friend at Chobani Yogurt, who needs cheap labor. Oh, yeah. It's all about cheap labor. That's all it's about. And, of course, what's ironic here is you're going to hear the chorus line of the so-called conservatives saying, well, don't you believe in the free market? Well, don't you think an employer has the right to cut wages to the lowest possible number? We don't believe in the minimum wage. I used to love hearing conservatives worth millions of dollars arguing against the minimum wage because they never worked for it. I did. I worked for 75 cents an hour, then a dollar an hour, then a dollar and a quarter an hour. I know what the minimum wage is. It's slave wages. And you'd hear these conservatives, these millionaires screaming, oh, we don't believe in a minimum wage. We believe in the free market. Yeah, well, then why aren't you on the side of Zuckerberg, who's bringing in cheap labor from India, if you believe in the free market? What, do you want more H-1B visas or fewer H-1B visas? It's all a crock of garbage. It's this way to the egress. It's whoever can make a quicker buck lying to the American people faster. That seems to be the heap. You know, the heap. Whoever can lie faster and quicker gets to the top of the heap faster. That's all. I don't care whether you define yourself as a liberal or a conservative. It's all about money at the end of the day. It's all about feathering your own nest. So here's the part that bothers me. Minorities think that Clinton is going to be good for them when her own husband said, give the jobs in Detroit to immigrants from Syria, so-called refugees who never should have been brought here to begin with. They should have been forced to stay in their own country in a protected environment to rebuild their own country. Why is he saying they should rebuild Detroit? Aren't there unemployed people in Detroit? Yeah, well, there you go. No comment. No comment from the left. They don't hear it. It's just one giant propaganda show after another. There's a story that got me so sick. I didn't know if I could even put it on my website, but I did. There's a picture of an Asian doctor whose face was beaten almost beyond recognition by blacks in Venice, California. The man was a fine surgeon, and he went to Venice for dinner. He got into his car to go home, and a black woman came pounding on his window screaming, you hit my bike, you hit my bike, you hit my bike, give me $150. He didn't know what it was about because there was no bike. It's a quiet Asian doctor. He said, wait a minute, what bike? I don't see a bike. All of a sudden, the black guy jumps in the passenger seat and says, give her $150. Give her $150. He says, you don't have to get angry. He says, the guy shows him a gun. He says, it's okay, you don't have to get violent about this. The guy pistol whips him, where his face is a bloody mess. Can you believe what's going on in this country? It's becoming like South Africa. And I have to ask you, do Asian lives matter? Or they don't have any right to life? Do Asian lives matter? Why are they being targeted now? Why did they do this to this nice Asian doctor, the surgeon? One of the best of the best. What'd they do it to him for? Why? Because they thought he was defenseless and he had money. You could be tomorrow, including your liberals. You could be next. You could be tomorrow. I mean, what in the world has to happen till you realize what this vermin in the White House has done to this country? What has to happen until you come to understand what will happen if that monstrous left-wing hag becomes president? So, yeah, we can talk about Colin Kaepernick. He has a right to do it, but fans also have the right to express themselves by burning his jersey and not going to the game. And advertisers have the right not to advertise on NFL shows or the 49ers. I talked about that yesterday. You know, it should have gotten more play. If it was anyone but me, it would be major news all over the media. You know why? Because they're all affected by it, but they're cowards and they're afraid to touch it. They're cowards and they're afraid to touch it. From Fox News to talk radio. How is it that major advertisers are not ashamed to advertise on the NFL or for the 49ers when you have a slimy man like this, an anti-American slime who affronts all Americans, and yet they will not advertise on talk radio that's considered too conservative or too controversial? Why is that not a story? The kind of blacklisting that's going on in this country right now by the four or five czars of advertising in this country who control everything in this country. You don't know anything about this. Okay, so I said that. Again, I have to talk about Colin Kaepernick. Now, I don't pronounce his name Colin because that would be dignifying this man. I refer to him as Colin because it refers to a part of the body that more aptly describes what he has become nationally. And I refer to his thick neck as a paper neck because it describes the reduced blood flowing to his brain. And a little bit of me, maybe a big bit of me, is thinking about Labor Day weekend. I mean, it's the end of the summer. And we have this slimy creature, Colin Kaepernick. They're holding him up as a hero for spitting on the American flag. And, of course, the left-wing goons who hate America anyway are holding him up as a hero. San Francisco cops demand apologies from the NFL and the 49ers for Kaepernick's lack of sensitivity. They're 100% right. He put a target on the back of cops by insulting them, this piece of garbage. How dare he say that he's oppressed in the United States of America when this talentless slimeball makes over $100 million a year? Hey, Kaepernick, how much would you make in Zaire? Do you think you'd be respected more in Uganda than you are in America, Kaepernick? Why don't you go try one of those countries that you love so much? You know, the biggest part of this story is the U.S. Marine who lost both his legs in Afghanistan, who said he can't stand for the anthem either, but he did by holding himself up by his hands on his wheelchair. That said it all. The Marine is the hero. Look at this. Look at this country we're living in as a result of this race-baiting hater in the White House. Look what this has come to. Oh, by the way, I have something special for you if anyone's listening. I have no idea. It seems to me the entire country's on vacation or on medication. Something with an IO. Either you're on vacation or medication, but you're like a dead sign. It's like the sound of silence coming back at me. No one's interested in anything right now. Nothing. They don't care. If half the country burned, they wouldn't care. As long as their tire didn't get burned. It's like riding on a highway, seeing people being pistol whipped, cars set on fire, people being beaten up, and you keep going. That's what's going on in this country under this thing in the White House. I have something special for you. You know, Trump has been on my show since 2011, earlier than anyone else in radio, so far as I know. Correct me if I am mistaken. I had him on in 2011, before he was even running. And what I did for you, I did something very special for you. I'm not running it today. Don't worry about it. I have a special 2011 Trump interview with me, Michael Savage, and you can get it for free and hear how specific Trump is on the issues, despite media lies. You can get it for nothing. It's a bonus MP3 free of charge. All you got to do is simply pre-order Scorched Earth at Amazon.com or your favorite store and email the receipt to ScorchedEarthBook@gmail.com. And you'll get this bonus MP3 interview with Donald Trump for free. It doesn't cost you anything. You're going to order the book anyway. I want you to pre-order the book. It's jumped up to number three in politics now, 2 weeks out. I need to make it number one, and I want to do it to make a statement that we're all not rolling over for the gang ruining America. I want to make a statement that we're not rolling over to the gangster regime. Do you understand what I'm saying? The book is very clear. It's inflammatory. Its title is Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Obama. I could not be more clear if my name was Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Here's another one to add to it. The mean face clipped hair head of the EPA. Take a look at a picture on my website. It makes your blood boil. The Environmental Protection Agency will begin collecting sexual orientation and gender identity information on its employees this fall, according to an internal email. That's all that's on their mind. That's all that's on their mind is sexual orientation. A sickness. When your mind is in the sexual gutter, that's all you think about. I don't care if you have a suit on and a tie and you run the EPA. I don't care if you have a clean skirt, if you have a rotten brain. That's all that's on your mind. If you're in a sexual sewer, this is all you think about day and night. Day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. Gender, 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 sex, sex, sex. That's all these sickos do. Oh, I'll calm down. Don't worry. Eventually, I'll calm down today. Right now, I'm calming up. I'm calming up right now. I don't know what it's going to take other than Trump winning and cleaning the house out. Cleaning the garbage out of the White House. Taking it down to the studs. Getting the infection out of the White House. Cleaning it down to the studs. Redoing the entire government, throwing these sickos out, arresting some for sedition. How's that? Does that work for you? What a rush that was. I thought I'd have a calm day. You know, end of the summer, relax, do whatever, go somewhere, not go somewhere, go on the boat, don't go on the boat, go on a hike, don't go on a hike, go on a bike ride, don't go on a bike ride. Just relax, not just do nothing. Turn the news off. I can't turn it off. I read the gangster never stops. Like an insane gangster, he never stops. So last night he commutes the sentences of 111 more criminals, including coke dealers, heroin dealers, meth dealers, and nothing, not a word out of the little boys and girls in the media, not a word, nothing. He can do no wrong. The Lilliputians, whose names I can't even mention without getting sick. It gags on me. Now, but the big, you know, on a personal note, I don't know the Asian doctor who was pistol whipped by the blacks. But you got to see his picture. Beverly Hills surgeon pistol whipped left for dead. Look what they did to this man. Look what they did to this man, a member of society doing great work as a surgeon. Look what these useless animals did to him for nothing. He walks out of a restaurant, just went for dinner in Venice, California. It was always a toilet bowl going all the way back to the Janis Joplin days. I mean, they gussied it up. It's always been a toilet bowl. But people walk around thinking it's safe. It's not safe. It's always been filled with garbage. Hippie bums, you know. But, you know, the drug hippies don't bother anybody. This guy gets in his car and tap on the window. You hit my bicycle. You owe me $150. You know what they were talking about. There was no bicycle. Then he looks around. A guy jumps in his passenger seat. What kind of country are we living in when a president encourages this kind of violence? And then says the reverse is true. How much longer can you live in an emerging South Africa situation? You say it can't happen here. Oh, he's exaggerating. Can't happen here. Oh, it can. It is happening here, you morons. You let it happen because you're a bunch of cowards. I'm not saying stand up to the thugs. Don't get me wrong. Let the cops take care of them the way the cops can take care of those violent thugs, the way they did take care of those violent thugs before this gangster took over the government and then twisted reality. There's a lot you could do. You could stop catering to your liberal neighbor and going along with when they give you the big lie about the oppression of minorities in America. You don't have to buy it.
Sorry. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture, And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We have gone from Pat Tillman to Colin Paperneck in just one administration. From Pat Tillman, remember him? The white football player who left a lucrative career in football to volunteer for the military and gave his life for freedom in Afghanistan, to Colin Paperneck of the so-called 49ers who refuses to stand during the national anthem. It is a major story, not only in the American Cultural Revolution that was started by outright communists and flared up by the radical president Barry Obama and his minions of American haters, and now seeping down to the football field itself. And you have to ask yourself, when will we stop buying into this victimization racket? The answer is when people refuse. The day you refuse to buy into this victimization racket is the day it ends. The day you say, you know what, shove it, I don't buy it. You hate the country, then leave the country. You don't like the country, tell me what country's better. Oh, that country's better, then go move there. Simple. That's all, but you can't do it. So we're going to talk about this football player, Colin Paperneck, and what he did. You'll find out that he was born to Heidi Russo, a 19-year-old Caucasian woman who was single and destitute at the time. His birth father was an African-American who he never met. And the mom, the wonderful mom of Colin, ditched him and put him up for adoption with Rick and Teresa Kaepernick, a white couple who had two children, a son Kyle and a daughter Devin. And they wanted a boy after having lost two other sons to heart defects. So Paperneck became the youngest of their three children. Paperneck was baptized Methodist, confirmed Lutheran, and attended a Baptist church. And here's the irony of this whole thing about this anti-American football player. Paperneck has multiple tattoos. His right arm features a scroll with the Bible verse Psalm 18:39 written on it. Tattooed under the scroll are praying hands with the phrase "To God the glory" written on them. To the left of both the scroll and praying hands is the word faith. His left arm features a Christian cross with the words "Heaven sent" on it, referring to Jesus. Well, you get the picture. The picture is how we've gone from Pat Tillman hero to Colin Paperneck in just one administration. And how the NFL thinks that the people are not going to react to this is not astonishing to me. The NFL doesn't have any idea what's coming. The 49ers themselves have no idea what's coming, that they would permit this to go on. The national anthem is and always has been a special part of games in this country. It is an opportunity to honor our country and reflect on the great liberties that we are afforded as its citizens. Moreover, it's a respect for the fallen soldiers who fought and died for our freedom. And to have a major league player, who by the way is on the skids in terms of his playing abilities, do this has set off a national controversy. He hates America, then why doesn't he leave America? And I want to play Colin Paperneck himself, who states why he would not stand during the national anthem. For those of you who don't follow sports, I don't follow most sports. I find them very boring. But it is a huge thing in America, obviously. Americans are sports crazy. So now you have a sports figure, Colin Paperneck, who wouldn't get up during the national anthem. And now, listen to him in clip two, justifying it.
I mean, ultimately, it's to bring awareness and make people, you know, realize what's really going on in this country. There are a lot of things that are going on that are unjust. People aren't being held accountable for.
Oh,
and
really?
That's something that needs to change.
Oh, really?
That's something that, you know, this country stands for freedom, liberty, justice for all. And it's not happening for all right now.
Yeah, he's suffering, you know. I think he made $13 million last year. He's worth $100 million. A moron like him is worth $100 million. And he's screaming about freedom and justice and inequality. Don't you just love it? Now he goes into the big lie. As you know, there's a war against police, especially white police, triggered by the bum in the White House, triggered by the media, triggered by Eric, whatever his name is, Holder, and all the rest of them, the haters of police. So now listen to lie number two from Colin Paperneck in clip three.
There is police brutality.
Yeah.
People of color
right
have
on.
Been targeted by police. So that's a large part of it. And they're government officials. They're put in place by the government. So, you know, that's something that this country has to change. There's things we can do to you know, hold them more accountable. Make those standards higher.
I'm not holding moronic football players like you more accountable, liar. Liar. Paper neck a liar. So now he puts out the big lie put forward by the Black Lives Matter gangster movement. And he says people of color are being targeted by police. There comes a time, my friends, when good people have to stand up or bad people will rule over you. And that's exactly what is happening today in the United States of America. Now, it should not be lost on you that Colin Kaepernick has African heritage and he has some, let us say, confusion in his loyalties. He was raised a Christian. He was baptized Methodist, confirmed Lutheran, attended a Baptist church. He has multiple Christian-oriented tattoos on his body. And yet there's been a strange change in his behavior recently. The internet argues that he has converted to Islam. He's dating a Muslim woman. I don't know if any of that is true, nor does it matter. What matters is that a sports figure would dare to disrespect the American flag and the American people like this. And he says this is a racist nation that doesn't respect black people and other minorities. Well, let's talk about that for a minute. There was a book in 1997 that was entitled Out of America by a Washington Post journalist named Keith Richburg. I had him on the show when I was a local host at the time. And I'm going to read you some of his quotes about what he found when he went to Africa. Now, he is an African American, or a black African is what he would like to call himself. I don't know what he defines himself, a black American. I don't know how he defines himself. But he was uncomfortable with the phrase African Americans. In fact, in his book, he writes, I just wrote Black Americans, he said. I couldn't even bring myself to write African Americans. It's a phrase that for me still doesn't roll easily off the tongue or look natural on the screen of the computer terminal. Going from colored to black took some time to get used to. But now African American? He asks, is that what we really are? Is there anything African left in the descendants of those original slaves who made that long journey over? Are white Americans whose ancestors came here as long ago as the slaves did? Are they English Americans or Dutch Americans? Haven't the centuries erased all those connections so that we are now all simply called Americans? Now remember, this man's a fine journalist named Keith Richburg. His book was very, very well received at the time. It's been forgotten. I don't think it would be published today. I think people would be too afraid to publish this book. But I have the book. And I'm going to read it to those of you out there who are brainwashed fools, white, black, Asian, Hispanic. I want you to understand how brainwashed you have been by the communists in this country. And here it is. He says this. He went back to Africa to find his heritage as a journalist. And he said, if this is Africa, what does it mean to be an African American? He said, somewhere, sometime, maybe 400 years ago, an ancestor of mine, whose name I'll never know, was shackled in leg irons, kept in a dark pit, possibly at Gori Island off the coast of Senegal, and then put with thousands of other Africans into the crowded, filthy cargo hold of a ship for the long and treacherous journey across the Atlantic. Many of them died along the way of disease of hunger. He said, my ancestor survived, maybe because he was strong, maybe stubborn enough to want to live, or maybe just lucky. He was ripped away from his country and his family, forced into slavery somewhere in the Caribbean. Then one of his descendants somehow made it up to South Carolina. And one of those descendants, my father, made it to Detroit during the Second World War, and there I was born 36 years ago, he says. And if that original ancestor hadn't been forced to make that horrific voyage, I would not have been standing there that day on the Rusumo Falls Bridge, a journalist, a mere spectator, watching the bodies glide past me like river logs. No, I might have instead been one of them, or have met some similarly anonymous fate in any one of the countless ongoing civil wars or tribal clashes on this brutal continent. And then he writes, and so I thank God my ancestor made that voyage. Now remember, this is written by an African-American journalist. I'm not changing one word. He goes on. He writes, does that sound shocking? Does it sound almost like a justification for the terrible crime of slavery? Does it sound like this black man has forgotten his African roots? Of course it does. All that and more. And that is precisely why I've tried to keep the emotion buried so deep for so long. But as I sit before the computer screen trying to sum up my time in Africa, I have decided I cannot lie to you, the reader. After 3 years traveling around this continent as a reporter for the Washington Post, I've become cynical, jaded. I have covered the famine and civil war in Somalia. I've seen a cholera epidemic in Zaire. I've seen trucks dumping the bodies into pits. I've interviewed evil warlords. I've encountered machete-wielding Hutu mass murderers. I've talked to a guy in a wig and a shower cap, smoking a joint and holding an AK-47 on a bridge just outside Monrovia. I've seen some cities in rubble because they had been bombed, and some cities in rubble because corrupt leaders have let them rot and decay. I've seen monumental greed and corruption, brutality, tyranny, and evil. He talks about his time in America when he lived in Detroit, that his family came up to work in the auto factories. And then he says there were actually two black Detroits while I was growing up, the east side and the west. The dividing line was Woodward Avenue, our own version of Beirut's infamous Green Line. But the division was more psychological and geographic, centering mainly on black attitudes, the strange caste system in black America at the time, where you could place your roots in the South. Roughly put, the split was between South Carolina blacks on the west side and Alabama blacks on the east. These were, in a way, our tribes. Again, he is writing. I'm not editorializing. He says, well, he writes, it sounds strange even to me as I look back on it, but those divisions were very real to the black people living in Detroit when I was young, at a time when the city was transforming itself from predominantly white to predominantly black. It was drummed into me that South Carolina blacks, like my family, owned their homes and rarely rented. They had small patches of yard in the front and kept their fences mended. They came from Charleston, Anderson, Greenville, sometimes Columbia. They saved their money, went to church on Sunday, bought their kids new clothes at Easter and for the start of the school year. They kept their hair cut close. They ate turkey and ham and grits and sweet potato pie. They were well brought up and they expected their children to be the same. He said, don't cross Woodward Avenue, we were told, because those blacks over there came up from Alabama. They talked loudly, they drank heavily, and they cursed in public. They had darker skin and nappier hair, he writes. They didn't own homes, they rented. And they let the grass in the front run down to dirt, and their fences were all falling apart. They ate pig's feet, and often had more than a dozen relatives, all from Alabama, stacked up in a few small rooms. Then he uses a derogatory term that I cannot repeat. And then he says, the greatest insult was he ain't nothing, he just came up here from Alabama. And then he ends with something, he doesn't end with, a piece that I want to again quote. He said, you see, I just wrote the words black Americans. I couldn't even bring myself to write African-Americans. It's a phrase that for me still doesn't roll easily off the tongue or look natural on the screen of the computer terminal. Going from color to black took some time to get used to, but now African-American? Is that what we really are? Is there anything African left in the descendants of those original slaves who made that long journey over? Are white Americans, whose ancestors came here as long ago as the slaves did, English Americans or Dutch Americans, having the centuries erased all those connections so that we're all now simply Americans? So that's Keith Richburg, very respected journalist, in his book Out of America from 1997, where he went to Africa to discover his roots, and he was shocked at what he encountered. And now we come full circle after we have had a president, two attorney generals who are of African origin, countless members of a certain background running the government at every level. Everywhere you turn in Hollywood, everywhere you turn in the media, the glorification of only a certain type of individual from a certain background, with the denigration of the white male, especially the heterosexual Christian white variety. And now we come full circle to a football player named Colin Kaepernick, who the other day refused to stand up for the national anthem and has set off a national dialogue and a national outrage. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So this Cultural Revolution, which was largely under control until this gangster took over America, and with his silk-smooth delivery, pushed a form of progressivism that has launched us into a social, if not a shooting civil war, where cops are being shot every day because of this gangster in the White House. We're now seeing football players refusing to stand for the national anthem. And the dummies in the stands who made these idiots rich don't do anything. They don't boo, they don't boycott, they don't avoid the game, they don't send a note of protest. The dummies go there to get drunk. That's all. So what is it that old Paperneck wants? What does the football player, Colin the Tattooed Paperneck, Here's a man worth, at least, they say $100 million. He made over $11 million last year, maybe more. What is he complaining about? It's nothing. It's pure rubbish. And so you have to ask yourself, why is he doing it? Oh, it's heartfelt. Because he's really an oppressed minority, that's why. How we've gone from Pat Tillman to Colin Paperneck in just one administration is not an amusement to me. It's pretty clear what's happened to this country. And so I will turn it over to you. Here's an email from a listener who says something about America that I would like to read to you. And I just want to make sure that I want to read the right thing, whether it should be anonymous. Okay, got that. See, I asked, should it be anonymous? And the individual said yes. So this anonymous emailer wrote, I don't get why so many Americans expect this country to be perfect and far more perfect than humans can possibly be. If it's not perfect, they feel they need to denounce the entire nation, no matter how much better it is in many ways than most, if not all, of the nations in the world. In my experience, this individual writes, these individuals are often the same ones who think America was and still is solely responsible for the Atlantic slave trade. Are they uneducated, misinformed, unintelligent, or some combination thereof? Or is it more about getting attention and going with what's fashionable than anything else? Now, there's so many things that this person said that need to be discussed. Are they uneducated? Check that. Misinformed? Check that. Unintelligent? Check that. Combination thereof? Check that. I mean, if you're going to protest, why don't you protest the Arabs who sold Africans into slavery? If you're going to protest, why don't you protest the Spanish families who made fortunes off the slave trade? But that's not what it's about. It's just to hate a certain amount of the population. That's what it's all about. And the police, of course, are the ones who are on the front lines of this cultural war. You know that? Another person writes, the same people care nothing about how many young American black men are lost every year to the grave and to prison because of the obscene number of homicides they commit. They don't care about black lives. They just want to throw garbage at anything and everything that isn't suffering along with them rather than take responsibility and address the real problem. If they acknowledge the real problem, they'd have to actually something more than whine in support of a racist movement like Black Lives Matter that helps no one. Amen to that.
Savage.
Series of emails that show Clinton did pay-for-play favors for foundation donors through her top aide, the Iranian stealth agent Huma Abedin. Newly released trove of emails from Hillary Clinton's top aide Huma Abedin shows she repeatedly did favors for high-dollar contributors to the Clinton Foundation, including a foreign national with a criminal record that made her nervous. In fact, this guy was so corrupt that even the questionable Barbara Boxer refused to intervene. Did you hear this? Even Barbara the Bagel Boxer wouldn't touch this request to gain access to Hillary Clinton. I was shocked to read this. Wasserman was informed that Senator Barbara Boxer, D. California, declined to help of the pending criminal matter. So did Senator Sherrod Brown, D. Ohio. But they went to someone else who got access to Hillary Clinton, the corruption of Hillary Clinton. We all know it. It's a given. We know she's corrupt. We know she should be arrested. We know that she should have been indicted. We know she should step down. We know all of that. We know Obama should have been in prison a year ago for violating the Constitution. But, well, how many times can you say the same thing? How could Hillary Clinton be so numbed out to not know that the whole world knows how corrupt her foundation is? How could she not know that? Isn't she numbed on something? Is that why she's stumbling? I'm wondering. So she's in excellent health, even though she's stumbling and falling and needs pillows to hold her up. The foundation is a RICO, obviously. And all you hear about is that Trump did this, Trump did that. That's why I don't want to talk about it. I think that watching Hillary Clinton get away with what she's getting away with and watching Obama get away with what he gets away with, including not going to the flooded Louisiana saying he's too busy, is equivalent to pornography. That anybody who watches Obama lie as he does so glibly, it's equivalent to pornography. It's sort of a pornographic event. It's a pornography of the truth. Let's put it to you that way. And let me tell you something else. Any rational person understands that her health should be assessed by an impartial panel of physicians. And so should Donald Trump's health, by the way. Everyone running for the presidency in the final stretch should be subjected to an impartial panel of physicians. where a full battery of tests are released to the public. I don't want to hear any nonsense about, well, we can't release it because of privacy concerns. That's nonsense. We don't want a sick person in the White House. We don't want a drug addict in the White House. And we have a right to know who we're electing. So I believe, and I'm not alone, that Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump must be assessed by an impartial panel of physicians. And I'm not alone on this. There is a doctor with the highest of credentials, top doctor, Rutgers University professor of medicine, Bob Lahida, says that concerns over Hillary Clinton's health are not a conspiracy theory, that Clinton should be assessed by an impartial panel of physicians. He is very worried. He said, suffering two blood clots, a stroke and post-concussive syndrome, causing Hillary to have to wear special prism glasses. Do you understand that if she gets sick in office, who's going to run the country? It will be Bill Clinton. Do you understand this could be a stealth campaign by Bill Clinton to be president again, to get around the restrictions on no more than two terms? Do you get this? Now, if you want someone who's running a RICO organization, because Giuliani, I don't know of anyone listening to this show who wouldn't agree with this statement, that under New York's Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, New York was a safer, cleaner city. Raise your hand if you disagree with that. Compare it to what's going on in New York City right now under the communist, psychotic, corrupt boss Tweed running the city right now. Giuliani cleaned up the city. Giuliani got the bums off the streets, the drug addicts, the sickos, the crime was down. It was a cleaner city. Giuliani said the following on Fox News. He said the Clinton found, well, wait a minute, hold it now. Listen to Rudy Giuliani in his own words in clip three.
She is the consummate, corrupt Washington insider. And she is thoroughly corrupt. And so is the Clinton Foundation. If I were back in my old job as U.S. attorney, I would probably indict the Clinton Foundation as a racketeering enterprise. Wow. They took money from money launderers, criminals, dictators, people who abuse women as a matter of government policy. She did favors for those very people who gave money to the Clinton Foundation.
This is a man that everyone in America knows is a reputable, honorable man. And if you look at this career criminal family foundation, and you look at her health problems, and you remember that back in the old days, Woodrow Wilson's wife had to run the White House because he was sick. There are a lot of things that need to be talked about before we go to the polls. I want you to try to keep a few things in mind. It's very important for those of you who are undecided because of the around-the-clock propaganda by Joseph Goebbels, Blitzer, and the others in the media. Joseph Goebbels, Blitzer, Joseph Goebbels, Tapper, Joseph Goebbels, Stephanopoulos would have you believe that the election is already over and Trump is worse than Hitler. But keep this in mind. Donald Trump did not steal your money and run the debt up to what it is right now. Donald Trump did not raise your taxes. Donald Trump did not quadruple the price of food. Trump is not stirring a race war. Trump did not leave U.S. soldiers in Benghazi to be slaughtered and desecrated by filthy Muslims. Trump did not send the U.S. Navy to fight for Syrian al-Qaeda. Trump did not arm ISIS and systematically exterminate Christians throughout the Middle East. Trump did not betray Israel. Trump did not provide financing and technology to Iran's nuclear weapons program. Trump did not give our military secrets to China. Trump did not remove our nuclear missile shield in Poland at the behest of Russia. Trump did not shrivel our military and betray our veterans. Trump did not cripple our economy. Trump did not increase our debt to $20 trillion. Trump did not ruin our credit twice. Trump did not double African-American unemployment. Trump did not increase welfare to a record level for 8 years. Trump did not sign a law making it legal to execute and imprison Americans. Trump did not set free all of terrorists in Guantanamo Bay. Trump did not steal your rights, violate U.S. constitutional law, or commit treason hundreds of times. And yet, Joseph Goebbels, Blitzer, Joseph Goebbels, Tapper, Joseph Goebbels, ABC, CBS, NBC, call him worse than Hitler nonstop. It is Barack Hussein Obama, the liar and thief. It is Hillary Clinton and the established con men who have illegally stolen our government from us. The government media complex is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Democrat Party. Save our borders, language, and culture. And if you think that you want to hear what I just said to you all over again, and you want to get it down clearly, yeah, that's right. It's all in my masterpiece, Scorched Earth, which, yes, you can buy right now on Amazon or buy in bookstores a week after Labor Day. This is it, my friends. It's down to the wire. Are we one bad election from losing everything? Is America not becoming a third world nation of terror, riots, mobs, and chaos? Has our Constitution not been trampled by a divisive, lying president? Have progressive policies and open borders not flooded America with drugs and poisoned America with diseases like Zika? Can the nation recover from Obama's scorched earth policies? Yes, only if one man wins, and his name is Donald Trump. Read all about it in Scorched Earth. Donald Trump is surging in the polls. It's a neck-to-neck race, and I'm not so sure he's finished. I see signs in areas that are not normally, let's say people don't look at all the areas I look at. I'll give you an example. There's an obscure sailing magazine here in the San Francisco area called Latitude 38. I haven't read it in years. I picked one up at a boat store. It's a giveaway. And they have a section where sailors go around the world and write their little reports of what's going on where they're sailing. And you kind of read it, and you daydream that you're on that trip because sailing is a great adventure. And everyone at some point in their life dreams of getting away from it all, and these people do. And crossing an ocean in a sailboat is a major, major deal, even in this day and age. With all of the advanced technology, it's still a major league heroic effort. So this is a very liberal Bay Area thing. It's a very liberal magazine, I would guess. Most of them are very liberal. But the thing about most ocean sailors is they're probably more libertarian than liberal. They're extremely rugged individualists. And I see an article about a guy whose head was cut off on one of his trips, and I couldn't believe it. And they're talking about Sharia law in here. They went to an area where there is fundamentalist Islam, and it's in Indonesia, and it says, in this month's changes from Tom Van Dyke of his boat and point, it was noted that semi-autonomous Banda Aceh, known for fundamental Islam, is the only province in Indonesia that is allowed to use Sharia law. Sharia prohibits things such as homosexuality, adultery, alcohol, women straddling motorcycles, and so forth. Initially, Sharia was only applied to members of the Muslim faith. But a bylaw was passed last year that allows Sharia to be enforced on members of all faith. Just like in America with the Council on American Islamic Retrobates, they're telling us that they're never going to, you know, impose it on anyone else. Remember what they really want to do. They want to cut your head off. They want to turn you into one of their robotic 15th century prisoners. So I'll go on of what happened to this poor sailor. He was kidnapped by these in the southern Philippines. Another one was killed. Now here's another in Indonesia. And they quote now, the fact is that Muslims in Aceh do tolerate religious freedom, said the official press release from the Muslims who took over. We coexist without any problems, said Tengu Faisal Ali, head of the provincial chapter of the influential Muslim organization at the time the bylaw was passed. He went on with his lie. He said, we don't want to raise the impression that Islamic law in Aceh fringes on the rights of non-Muslims. It doesn't force Sharia law on non-Muslims because they're free to observe their own faiths and beliefs. Close quote. So then the Liberal Sailing magazine entry says, oh yeah, on April 13th, a 60-year-old Christian woman was caned 30 times before hundreds of Muslim onlookers for the, quote, crime of selling alcohol in that town. It was the first time that Sharia law had been imposed on a non-Muslim in Indonesia. Then they go on. On the same day she was caned, a Muslim couple accused of adultery received 100 lashes. Two Germans caught wearing skimpy bathing suits got away with stern warnings. And then it goes on. And they talk about people being beheaded as a result of falling into the hands of the Muslims in these throwback quarters of the earth. So when you hear from people in America who tell you that Sharia law is not dangerous, understand it's very dangerous. And now that leads us to what I'm getting at, which is that if I'm seeing such a report about the dangers of Muslims and Sharia law in Indonesia in a liberal sailing magazine, I have a feeling that all is not lost to defeat the corrupt criminal Hillary Clinton who belongs in prison. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I know that we have a criminal running for the presidency, and we know that her skirts are as dirty as they come. We know that her health is being covered up. Top doctors are saying there's something wrong with her. She is not going to make it into the White House. And if she does, someone else is going to have to take the job. That means Bill's going to be president again. That means, what, he's going to run the third term, violating the Constitution yet again. And again, you know, feather his own nest. So that's a big issue. And I want to talk, though, about the issue of pornography and how it has damaged your life. Why? I was reading an article by Elizabeth Smart, who was kidnapped at age 14 and repeatedly raped by that animal, Brian David Mitchell, up in Utah, if you remember that story. And she's now running an anti-pornography campaign, and she says pornography led to this bum raping her more than he already did in the 9 months that she was held. And so it raises the issue of, now, pornography's been mainstreamed in America. Irrespective of whether you like it or you don't like it, it has been mainstreamed in America to the detriment of the nation, not to the health of the nation. And so we're talking about it on that level. And while we're talking about it on that level, I'm not going to dismiss the whole campaign for the moment. The fact is, Giuliani says that the Clinton Foundation warrants indictment as a racketeering enterprise. And I don't know of anyone in America who doesn't agree that Rudolph Giuliani was a great mayor and a great U.S. attorney who cleaned up New York City. And the man is as honest as they come, and I think that we should listen to him. Newly released Clinton emails show favors for foundation donors. Run by Huma Abedin. Very important story. There is another story by Bill Gertz in the Free Beacon, Why We Need Trump's Wall. And it's about Sunni extremists infiltrating the United States with the help of Mexican smugglers in South America and are crossing into the United States with ease, according to a military that is a U.S. South Command intelligence report. Alien smuggling networks in South America are bringing Sunni Muslims into the United States of America. How in the world can this not worry you? How could you not believe we need Trump's wall? So having said that, I think it's important to talk about a lifestyle topic just as well. And while I am doing that, I will once again remind you, as I did earlier in the show, when I was talking about my book, Scorched Earth, and why I think it's a must-read. And why I think you must buy it for yourself and a Prague. If you find a Prague who's willing to at least look at the evidence, Scorched Earth will show you that Donald Trump, who was being attacked around the clock by Joseph Goebbels' blitzer, Joseph Goebbels' tapper, Joseph Goebbels', well, you fill in the blank, Stephanopoulos, they're all Joseph Goebbels, in my estimation. They're focused on him. She's hiding, hasn't given a press conference in 280 days. But it's Trump, 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 all the time. Trump didn't steal your money. Trump didn't raise your taxes. Trump did not quadruple the price of food. Trump did not stir a race war. Trump did not conduct a war on police. Trump did not leave U.S. soldiers in Benghazi to be slaughtered and desecrated by Muslims. Trump did not send the U.S. Navy to fight for Syria and al-Qaeda. Trump did not arm ISIS and systematically exterminate Christians throughout the Middle East. Trump did not bring in Muslims and no Christians. Trump did not betray Israel. Trump did not provide financing and technology to Iran's nuclear weapons program. Trump did not give our military secrets to China. Trump did not remove our nuclear missile shield in Poland at the request of Russia. Trump did not shrivel our military. Trump did not betray our veterans. Trump did not cripple our economy. Trump did not increase our debt to $20 trillion. Trump did not ruin our credit. Trump did not double African-American unemployment. Trump did not increase welfare to a record level for 8 years. Trump did not sign a law making it legal to execute and imprison Americans. Trump did not set free all the terrorists in Guantanamo Bay. Trump did not steal your rights. Trump did not violate the U.S. constitutional law or commit treason hundreds of times. And yet it's Trump, 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 Trump. It's Barry Hussein Obama and Hillary Clinton, and the rotten establishment who have occupied our government. That's who. After 8 years of the goofy golfer, why, there's no America anymore. There's just the goofy golfer's empty bag of tricks.
Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I think the main point of today's show is how progressive politics have ruined San Francisco and America. And I'll give you another example. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, elementary teachers have told to no longer address students as boys and girls. I don't know if you can believe this. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, a psychotic teacher or principal told all the teachers in the elementary school, you can no longer address students as boys and girls because it's offensive to transgender students. I want to know how long a society can survive when 0.0001% of the population dictates not only the morality, but what is sane and what is insane in a society. You know, I thought that democracy was defined in part as majority rule. How can we have minority rule in this country and survive as a cohesive nation? We can no longer pander to these people. I don't want to hear any more about their problems. I don't want to hear any more about whether I can say boy or girl. I don't want to have any more twisted bathroom stories. This is what Obama has done to this country through progressivism and tolerance. Ultra tolerance is killing us. Now, I'm going to play a soundbite for you. And if you see this person, Adrian Lawyer, from the so-called Transgender Resource Center, who apparently is behind telling teachers in Albuquerque they can't call boys boys and girls girls because it hurts transgenders. If you saw a picture of this man as he talks, you'd see a man with a beard. So what you're about to listen to is the image of a burly man with a beard who was actually born as a woman. Listen to this clip. I believe it is number 2 on the Savage Nation.
What the principal was trying to say is, let's think about how we address students and all of the gendered language that we use all day, every day, and whether or not we really have to do that. For some young people, that's a really painful experience every day to be referred to as the wrong gender.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I were Clarence Darrow conducting the Scopes monkey trial, I would say a few things now in a court of law in order to try to impress you with the idea that we're living in a totally insane society as a result of progressive policies. And if it is not curtailed with us standing up and saying enough is enough, just shut up, do what you want to do, but get the hell out of my face and get out of my life. You're not going to dictate to me anymore what I should say about reality. You're the one who's confused, not me. Would that make me an intolerant person or a sane person who has had enough? Have you had enough of the dictatorship of the minorities who are now dictating what you should think and feel about reality? Or am I the last man who is not crazy in this society? And again, it comes back to the number one story that I told you. I talked about crime in San Francisco. I talked about broken highways in San Francisco. I asked where the federal highway money has gone, who was stealing it. Because there are billions of dollars sent into this area by the federal government to fix roadways. Where is the money? And I mean the roads leading up to the Golden Gate Bridge, for example. It's a broken road that you wouldn't find in a major area of Malaysia. Who's stealing the money? Are you telling me that the senators in this city, Feinstein and the other one, Boxer, don't drive over the Golden Gate Bridge? They don't feel the broken road under their car? You're telling me that Pelosi going to her country estate over the Golden Gate Bridge doesn't see the broken road and ask herself, why is this road broken going onto an iconic structure like the Golden Gate Bridge? Where is the money going? Who's stealing the money? It's a simple question. If we had a U.S. attorney like Rudolph Giuliani in this area, or even a U.S. attorney of the type they are lucky to have in New York like Pete Brahara, pardon me for mispronouncing his name, I can guarantee you that there are politicians who would be in orange jumpsuits. Now, this country is like an airplane moments before tragedy strikes. If you were looking at a jetliner in the sky, flying along at 35,000, 40,000 feet, and someone took a picture of this airplane, this giant jumbo jet, before tragedy struck, that would be my image of America, because that's where we're at. Here's a story, for example, as a result of immigration, open borders, as a result of the goofy golfer. FBI investigating possible ISIS-inspired knife attack in Virginia. What do you mean possible ISIS-inspired? Where do you hear the story?
The FBI has launched a federal terrorism investigation into a weekend stabbing in Roanoke, Virginia, looking at whether the attacker may have been trying to behead his victim in an alleged ISIS-inspired assault.
What do you mean may have been trying to behead his victim? He had the knife against the white man's throat and was trying to cut it off? Oh, I said white man? Yeah. Federal authorities, listen to this sickness. So-called federal authorities, whatever that may mean, have been aware of the alleged attacker, 20-year-old Wasil Faruqi, of the Roanoke area for some time. In the past year, sources said, Wasil Faruqi traveled to Turkey and may have tried to sneak into Syria, where ISIS is recruiting and inspiring some of them from around it. So you see, old Faruqi the Muslim was arrested Saturday by Roanoke County Police on charges of assault with malicious wounding. What did he actually do? Mr. Faruqi allegedly injured a man and a woman at an apartment complex in Roanoke, yelling, I'm sorry to tell you, I know it's very offensive and it's insensitive, but he was yelling Allahu Akbar, which is a guttural grunt from ISIS attackers before they kill non-Muslims. So he attacks these white people with a knife. Authorities believe he may have been trying to behead the male victim, who was likely picked at random. Faruqi and his two alleged victims were hospitalized. See, we have to give him hospital treatment. I'll tell you what I'd give him. I'd give him cockroaches and an open wound. I'd bury him up to his nose and put ants on his head with honey. Faruqi and his two alleged victims were hospitalized after the attack. You hear? My tax dollars at work. I have to pay for Faruqi's medical care. I dig a hole somewhere in Roanoke, in a town square. I'd bury him up to his neck and put honey on his head and let the ants eat him alive. I think that would disinspire the next ISIS attack, wouldn't you? But no, here's the answer now. The FBI is working with the police department following the incident that occurred on Saturday evening. You hear that? Said the head of the FBI's Richmond field office and then the so-called special agent in charge following the incident, not the potential beheading by a Muslim fanatic, the incident that occurred like spontaneous combustion. Well, I cannot discuss details of the investigation, said the FBI moron. I do want to reassure the community that we are working to determine the nature of the incident. You know, Mr. Lee, you're a schmuck. I don't care if you work for the FBI. You are a schmuck. To even be able to speak like that, you're a moron. You can see how agitated I can get if I actually look at these stories. Oh, here's the punchline. And this is a call out to all of the good progressive lawyers out there. This is a call to all of you. It was not clear whether Faruqi has a lawyer. So if you're a brainwashed, psychopathic, anti-American, anti-family, anti-church, anti-man, anti-woman, anti-cop person with a law degree, Faruqi needs a lawyer. And he's waiting for you. And if you'd like his phone number, I can provide it for you. It's 1-800-DROP-DEAD. Here's another story. Sean Spicer, the chief strategist and communications director for the esteemed RNC, is now being brought into work 3 or 4 days a week at Trump Tower to help the campaign shape its message. Now, of course, the question that begs to be asked is, he's going to help shape the message? The man from the RNC? The man who advised Mitt Romney is now going to advise Trump? How did that work out for Romney? I guess the wimpification of Trump is in the wind. Now, also working for the Trump campaign is none other than the two-faced liar, Michelle Bachmann. You remember her? Remember Michelle Bachmann, former Republican? Emphasis on former Republican Congresswoman, Michelle Bachmann. Well, she's advising Trump on foreign policy. Why do I have it in for Michelle Bachmann? I'll make it real simple. When she was struggling, she came on this show. And she begged you for money. And you sent her money. I think it was over $200,000. And she said, help me fight Nancy Pelosi. And then after she saved her position, she would no longer come back on this show. Well, eventually she got thrown out of office. She's also been hired by the Trump campaign. Do you understand why I don't want to talk about it? It's too depressing. It's anguishing. And so I got to tell you this. I went to San Francisco for dinner. Frankly, I love San Francisco, but I got to tell you this. If ever you wanted to know why not to vote for a progressive, just come to San Francisco. The garbage in the streets, the filth in the streets, the clogged, overflowing sewers, the broken roads. And if you want an example of broken roads, I want you to do something for me. Because I'm going to do it. I'm going to try to do it anyway. I want you to take a small video with your iPhone. If you're in a car leaving San Francisco, going north over the Golden Gate Bridge, let's say to Sausalito or Napa Valley, I want you to look at the broken roadway leading up to the Golden Gate Bridge. It is worse than a third world nation. I want to know where the billions of dollars in highway funds have gone. I want to know which progs are stealing the highway funds in San Francisco. I want to know which progs are stealing federal highway funds in San Francisco. And this is an example of what progressive politics have done to a beautiful city. It's exactly what progressive politics have done to a beautiful nation. 8 years after this fraudulent golfer took over the presidency. Oh, by the way, his vacation was over, I think. So the goofy golfer flew to Louisiana, and he said, this is not a photo op. I mean, it's astounding. Everything he says, does he not hear himself? What does he care? He's above the law. It doesn't matter. He hears himself. But the point is, progressive policies destroy everything that it touches. Now, if you say, well, this is an old message, Mike, move on. Well, it's not an old message. It's an actual new message. Because Hillary is selling progressive policies as though it's a new message. Is it a new message or an old message? What do you expect is going to happen in America if she wins? Well, I'll give you a few examples. You'll have more broken streets. You'll have more crime. Here, sightseers mugged at gunpoint on San Francisco's Twin Peaks. Of course, no description of the burglars. Two photo-snapping sightseers in their 20s were robbed at gunpoint on Twin Peaks in San Francisco. The latest in a rash of crimes at the Popular Vista targeting tourists. The men were taking pictures around 10 p.m. when two robbers, no description, approached them. Police said one of the assailants, again, no description, put a handgun against one of the sightseers' backs and threatened to shoot if either of them yelled. The other mugger took the backpack from the other victim. It contained two computer tablets, a hard drive, a camera lens, and U.S. and European currency. Wait, it gets better. Authorities didn't immediately say if the victims were traveling from abroad. Well, we can assume that if it had U.S. and European currency, they were tourists who were robbed at gunpoint in San Francisco. The mugging was the latest crime at the popular photography destination, targeting tourists and city sightseers. It's also happening at Coit Tower. It's also happening on Lombard Street. It's happening all over the city. Why? Because the police are unable to preemptively arrest the bad guys. They know who they are. The police know who they are. And in the old days, they would have yanked them in by the collar and arrested them. But, of course, they can't do that anymore. San Francisco is one big urinal. The rest of the world should know what we all know who live here. Everyone in this city who is a realist knows that it's one gigantic toilet bowl. And if you come here, you not only overpay for everything, but you're going to risk your life. And it's all because of the progressive politics of the Board of Supervisors. Be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I've never seen such corruption as this. And it's so bad that the Associated Press is even saying they never saw anything like it in their own way. For them to publish it is beyond belief corruption. Anyone else would go to jail. Many donors to Clinton Foundation met with her at State. More than half the people outside the government who met with Hillary the corrupt Clinton while she was Secretary of Hate gave money either personally or through companies or groups to the Clinton Foundation. Then they say it's an extraordinary proportion indicating her possible, and they emphasize possible, ethics challenges if elected president. Now we go to the bottom of this article, and we see what all the good progs have to say. For example, here's Norman L. Eisen, great man, President Barack Obama's top ethics counsel. Just a sterling human being. A great man, later worked for Clinton as ambassador to the Czech Republic. I wonder what he was doing in the Czech Republic, that he had to be there so badly. Anyway, Norman Eisen, a top ethics counsel. This guy was so wonderful that Obama got away with virtually anything he wanted. So here's what Eisen has to say, quote,
if Secretary Clinton puts the right people in and she's tough about it and has the right procedures in place and sends a message consistent with a strong commitment to ethics, it can be done, said Norman L. Eisen.
Eisen, now a governance studies fellow at the ultra-left-wing Brookings Institution, said that at a minimum, Clinton should retain the Obama administration's current ethics commitments and oversight. You hear this? Now, here's another one. Richard Paint, forget ethics advisors. I love ethics advisors. There's a famous ethics advisor that said you should euthanize the handicapped. Remember him? Ethics advisors. Usually the most unethical people on earth become ethics advisors. S. Daniel Abraham, whose name also was included in emails released by the State Department as part of another lawsuit, is a Clinton fundraising bundler. A bundler. Imagine if you said your father was a doctor, lawyer, accountant, plumber. My father was a bundler? A bundler. It's a new job category, a bundler, who was listed in Clinton's planners for 8 meetings with her at various times. A billionaire behind the Slim Fast Diet and founder of the Center for Middle East Peace. Abraham told the AP last year his talks with Clinton concerned Middle East issues. Really? Muhammad Yunus, a Bangladeshi economist, also met with Clinton 3 times and talked with her by phone during a period when Bangladeshi government authorities investigated Muhammad Yunus's oversight of a nonprofit bank and ultimately pressured him to resign from the bank's board. Throughout the process, he pleaded for help in messages routed to Hillary Clinton, and she ordered aides to find ways to assist him. That's called RICO. We had a legitimate government. It's a RICO statute that's invoked, and they're indicted under RICO statutes. Racketeering influence corrupt organization. There's more here. Just read it for yourself. As a U.S. senator from New York, Hillary Clinton, as well as then Massachusetts Senator John Kerry, and 2 other senators in 07 sponsored a bill to award a congressional gold medal to Yunus. He got one, but not until 2010. A year after Obama awarded him a Presidential Medal of Freedom. You hear this? A guy like this gets a Medal of Freedom? Who else do you think gets it? Someone who deserves it? All right, you get the picture. Read for yourself. You don't care. Here's the problem with a story like this. You don't care. Those who would never touch this woman with a stick, never know she's corrupt and rotten and deserves prison. And those of you who are progs don't care what is found out about her. You will vote for her anyway because you have no ethics and no morals and no moral compass. And that's the problem with America today.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I got some beautiful emails, and I want to read one Facebook comment, only one. So I get this comment on Facebook from Robert Rivera, who commented on WorldNet Daily, this. He says, Trump is beating up the media for what they are, but Savage has been on the front lines for decades and has led a magnificently ferocious and effective campaign against the media. I remember the first time I heard Michael back in the late 90s. He had my ear right away. He resonated with me in so many ways. His fiery tone and thick accent. I like that part. Thick accent. My Irish eyes are smiling, were as captivating as anything I had ever heard. His surly temperament and concise, eclectic intellect were and are unrivaled. He is as honest of a celebrity as you will ever find. He exposes himself as much as he does his enemies. He shares so much and asks for nothing in return. He is the ultimate entertainer. I have not agreed with him on some things from time to time, like about God, but I sure do love the guy and consider him a passing stranger that has become a long-awaited friend. You ever know people you can trust that you never are around or your schedules conflict with theirs? That is Michael Savage to me. I think the world of him, and he is as marvelous. He is a marvelous radio king that is always far ahead of the curve while posturing to throw you a knuckleball of his own. He is the trusted friend I will never meet. Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much for making me laugh and smile when no one else could. I mean that. I'm truly happy for you and your wonderful family. That's a beautiful, beautiful comment. Now, on that note, the big story of the day to me, and the big story of the day to me, and by the way, you can answer the other questions I raised, like who do you hate in Hollywood? What movies have they made or acted in that provokes crime, murder, drug use, or anti-Americanism? Who would I put on my list? Tarantino? Taranto? I don't know how to pronounce his name. Tarantino? Tarantino? All vile garbage. One movie after another provoking murder and violence.
Put him on a tuxedo. March him along Hollywood. Look at they hold up.
The lowest vermin on the planet they hold up. Or the other one, I'll tell you, I got a real thing. A real thing for Harvey Weinstein. You know why? It's not that he makes his living peddling filth and hate and pornography and violence. No. That's standard fare. It's that he pretends he's against violence. He wants to make a movie against the Second Amendment for Barack Obama. Could you believe this? I don't know a movie Harvey Weinstein ever made that didn't have a gun in it on a board, on the picture board for the movie. I remember in the 80s, I used to walk past movie theaters when there were still movie theaters that you could walk past. And I was impressed with the fact that every starlet, every so-called starlet or star had a gun in their hand. Every one of them was shown with a pistol. You know, remember that stupid pose that they all had with their hips out, their arms crossed? That was a very popular pose at the time. And then people in radio started imitating it, and the news media. Every photographer made your pose with your arms crossed like you were a mean, tough guy. Well, every picture in the movie theaters had someone with a gun in their hand, and I said, this is no good. This is no good. This is going to provoke children to start killing people with guns. Was I wrong? It's not the Second Amendment that did it. It's the vermin. Excuse me. I don't want to use the word vermin because it's a loaded statement and it turns liberals off. It was used by a certain Austrian in World War II and resulted in many millions of deaths, so I won't use it. I would use the word Solenterit, which means worm. What I really want to do is the whole thing that Trump's doing now, where he said that ISIS was founded by Obama. Now, if you've listened to this radio program for any number of years, or you read any of my books, you'll find that I wrote that and said that in more ways than one for quite a while now. And I'm actually interested as to why Trump said that all of a sudden yesterday, because I said it the day before. Didn't I say it on Monday almost the same exact thing? I know I did. We have the soundbite to prove it. It means that Donald's listening to me in the car on the way to and from various... I'm convinced of it because he's a spontaneous guy, and I don't think he's reading scripts. I'm pretty sure that's why he's saying things that offend everybody. And I think he's picking it up here, picking it up there. And Donald, if you're listening, you're welcome on the show anytime. I know that your people are not telling you that, but... Mr. Trump, anytime you want, you're welcome in the Savage Nation. So let's go back to the beginning and go to an incredible, provocative statement in clip number one.
ISIS is honoring President Obama. He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS. Okay? He's the founder. He founded ISIS, and I would say the co-founder would be Crooked Hillary Clinton. Co-founder, Crooked Hillary Clinton.
That's pretty good. You know something? He really has nothing to worry about, because if he loses the election, he can always become a talk show host. Think about how popular he'd be as a radio talk show host. So on page 62 of Government Zero, I say almost the exact same thing, because it's probably true. How could it not be true? Page 62, don't forget that Obama caused the rise of ISIS. He was warned by the military not to remove all American troops from Iraq, was he not? Was he not told to keep a force of 100,000 there to prevent this from happening? And what did he do? Page 63. He gave them the middle finger. He said, screw you, I know more than you. I am Obama the Great. I know everything. I know better than doctors about medical care. I know better than the military about the military. I know everything about climate. I'm an expert in everything. So he pulled all American troops out of Iraq and created a vacuum. Not to be outdone, here comes Cuckoo Clock Pelosi, which is worth listening to in clip four.
For him to turn around and say what he did about the president and the secretary is so bizarre. It's reminiscent of... demagogues who want to be in the press no matter what they have to say. They make their verbal poo-poo any place to get attention.
She has to be the most comical. What was she? What was her job? Wasn't she chief meatball roller for the Congress? Yeah, she was chief meatball roller for the Congress for a while, wasn't she? She taught everyone how to roll meatballs and make them tasty. I think she was, Nancy Pelosi, using the word verbal poo-poo. This really tops all of the cuckoo clock things she's ever said. Nancy Pelosi making a bigger jerk of herself than ever she's done in her life. Verbal poo-poo. I never heard anything like verbal poo-poo. What is wrong with this woman? Why doesn't she just... Wait a minute. Why can't Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, and Barbara Boxer just get off the public stage and give some younger, even younger progressives a chance? Anything would be better than these octogenarian maniacs. Don't they understand that it's an embarrassment to keep talking at a certain age? That at a certain point, they have to say to you, Grandma, it's time to stay home and teach us how to make meatballs. You're making a fool of yourself. Nope, no one would say it. The Queen has no clothes. So Donald Trump said Obama's the founder of ISIS. Pelosi said this. That one said that. And I asked you, who do you despise the most in the media and why? And boy, do I have calls. I can't wait to get to them. Who do you hate in Hollywood the most? And I'm using a strong word for a reason, because there are people in Hollywood I hate for their hypocrisy. I hate certain people. Like Leon DiCaprio is a great actor. I love his acting. But who does he think he's fooling with the global warming garbage, flying around with the girls, on the jets, to the yachts? God bless him, he's having fun. I don't know how much fun that could be after a while. You know, every day, Leon DiCaprio's latest girlfriend, one from Holland that looks like a beer truck driver with a great woman's body. How does that work? Yeah, I read the Daily Mail, and I get distracted easily on the side panels of the star snaps. I admit I get sucked into them. So I click on it. The woman looks like a Dutch truck driver, but has a great female body. I don't quite understand that one. What is that with the square face from Holland that he suddenly finds attractive? And thick, too, not on the thin side anymore. He's actually becoming a man who likes women. That's shocking. I never thought he'd grow up. Just to prove my point that what Donald Trump said about Obama being the founder of ISIS, I wrote about it, and I just read to you from Government Zero. I want to play something from May 2015, clip 20, go. While ISIS was on a rampage into Ramadi, this character, liar Satan, was golfing. ISIS held a massive parade in West Anbar province, celebrating a victory in Ramadi. It went for a half a mile long. Do you remember under Bush we saw a highway of death? Where was one U.S. warplane? Why did the great commander-in-chief not launch an air attack against the ISIS parade of Toyota trucks with machine guns after they took the city before they started their pillaging, raping, and kidnapping? There's only one answer to this. And do you know what the answer is? They're working for Obama. They're working for the U.S. government. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Tell me why the U.S. Air Force was not instructed by the golfer to take out that parade. One warplane could have done it. That was on May 19th, 2015. So, all right, I'm just trying to show you something. Now, in the old days of Godard movies, which I loved in the 60s, he used to show people in the streets of Paris, little leftists would hold up signs with acronyms as agitprop. And my agitprop on that one would be RNC plus CIA equals NBCBS. See, that says it all. But you have to go back to the era of agitprop to understand what I just said. RNC plus CIA equals NBCBS. That's sort of the agitprop that Godard would have used in one of his movies. But no one even knows who Godard is. No one even eats liver anymore. I'm going to speak about that. No one eats organ meats. I just asked Robert, as a young guy, comes from a background where I think Eastern European. No, he said, no one eats liver. My mother ate it. She made me eat it as a kid. I hated it. But I just had a bite. Liver and onions, I can't believe how good it felt. It went right to my brain. I felt, did you ever eat food, some foods, like you could feel it go right into your brain, like an ice cream, for example, when it gives you the shock in the head? That's a bad example. I'm trying to think of foods that when you eat, you can feel it in your brain almost immediately. See, and it's not in your brain. It's the sense goes up. I took a bite of that liver. Suddenly it was the Petite Madeleines. Again, it's a reference that's obtuse. You need a literary background. Anyone listening know what I just said? I want to give away something for some. I want to test the audience. I just said my eating that liver and onions just now was my equivalent of the Petite Madeleines. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. We are bashing Hollywood in the media today. And here's a news story. Crisis. U.S. Air Force expects to be 700 fighter pilots short in just a couple of years. No kidding. Why are pilots leaving the Air Force, do you think? Well, let's start at the bottom of the story. A news conference included Obama's Air Force Secretary, Deborah Lee James, who has never flown a jet, let alone flown in combat. She's a glorified air traffic controller. And they wonder why pilots are leaving the Air Force in droves, because they don't want to answer to morons and idiots who can't fly a plane. This is how Obama has destroyed the military. And I tell this whole story, yes, I do, in great detail, in Scorched Earth, a book you must have for your library. And I'm asking you to look it up on Amazon right now and get it going, because if we don't get it up on the list by the time it comes out, we're in trouble. The whole book is about electing Trump, by the way, in some way. It's all about the dangers of Hillary, and the only one who could save us is Trump. As crazy as that sounds, that's the truth. You know, Hillary's going to save us from this? In other words, what Obama started to do in so many spheres, including the military, Hillary will finish off. Why would you take a woman who can't fly a jet and make her the Secretary of the Air Force unless you're Barack Obama? Why would you do that? What do you think he did it for? To make it a better Air Force? To create morale in the Air Force, or destroy the morale in the Air Force? It's unbelievable to me. And that's one of the other topics that I think are worth that's worth discussing, incidentally. I have an article, it's funny, that came out today. Milan, Italy, overrun by invasion of thousands of immigrants. Now that other countries have closed off their pathways, borders now closed off in France, Austria, and Switzerland. They used to come through Italy and move right through Italy. Now they're staying in Italy, and they have so overrun the beautiful city of Milan that it's become a cesspool that the people in Milan don't know what to do with. 50% of all migrants entering Italy applying for asylum in the country. In the past, it was 3.3% would want to stay in Italy. Now it's 50% of all migrants are applying for asylum in the country. And you see refugee tent camps at key border points, such as Ventimiglia on the French border, Chiasso on the Swiss border, the Brenner Pass connecting Italy with Austria. Thousands and thousands of migrants converging on Milan. The local citizens are up in arms, and they say Milan is now on the verge of collapse because there are no social services. They said they are not refugees. They are illegal immigrants who must be sent home. That's Lombardy's president, Roberto Maroni. But wait, are you ready for this? Some of them want them there. A vocal supporter of them is a man named Beppe Sala, who has proposed building more structures to accommodate more and more waves of immigrants. Why would he want to do that? Tell me why a guy like Milan's mayor, Beppe Sala, would want to do that. It's the same answer in America. Catholic charities, Lutheran family services, Jewish family services, they care less about the country than you could imagine. It's all about raking in the money that's being thrown at them by the federal government under that demon in the White House, Barack Obama, who wants the country fundamentally transformed into a Muslim nation. He wants it looking like Indonesia rather than like America. I mean, that's what he had in mind. The man is demonic in his desire to alter the landscape of this country in a way that no one will ever believe happened. And the war, you know who the biggest losers are going to be? The African-American community. They are going to be the biggest losers of Obama's policies. The progressive haters of America have sold us the false notion that multiculturalism is a good thing, when in fact that was a good thing when the immigrants came here like your ancestors did and joined the melting pot and added to the stew and wanted ultimately to become Americans. And now it's become the reverse. We are being overrun by invaders, not immigrants. They refuse to learn the language. They hate the culture. They spit on the American flag. They don't know what the Bill of Rights means, and they could care less. And the reason this country is in such trouble, I believe, is the media. I believe the media is responsible for the meltdown of America and for the elevation of the lowest level of humans into the highest places. And in politics and the degradation of the best people in America to the lowest levels of America. That's what the media has done.
Savage.